Mason McTavish, the third duck shooter. This place will explode if he can get one here. Trying to give Anaheim a lead. Here he comes, wide turn to the right of Georgiev. Comes in front of the net, stick handles in, and he'll shoot, he scores! Between the legs of the goaltender, and he gives Anaheim a 1-0 shootout lead. And if Dostal stops the next San Jose shooter, the Ducks will win.
One of the more cheekier moves I've seen in quite some time. A lot of these moves have been slow. McTee follows up with yet another slow move going north, and he puts a 5-hole in tight.
Here's Toffoli. Dostal needs to stop him for a Ducks win. Coming in front of the net. He shoots. He missed. And Anaheim has won the game in a shootout preceded by overtime, preceded by a heck of a 60 minutes. 4-3 the final, and this crowd erupts at Honda Center. Good job, guys.
Yeah, Mason McTavish, good on you. Good on you, Lukas Dostal. Oh my, what a win this is. And because the Ducks won, it's time to fly together to McDonald's tomorrow. SoCal residents can get a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle for only $2 on the McDonald's app. McDonald's app download and registration required at participating McDonald's.
Wow. You guys are going to have a lot to talk about in our post-game show. No question about that. Emerson Edom, Alexis Downey, what can you say? Well, tell you one thing you can say. I hope you're with us from Calgary. And then Vancouver towards the mid and the late part of this coming week. You'll hear more about that, of course, on Duckstream. Tune in and all that. Want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast this evening. We'll be heading down just a few press box areas for Emerson and Alexis. And hope you tuned in on your way home. Lots of smiles should be in the final in a shootout. 4-3 Ducks over the San Jose Sharks. What we'll do right now is take a timeout. When we come back, you'll hear all the postgame show live from Honda Center. Hope you enjoyed it. For everybody here, thanks for listening to Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
Hey everyone, Adnan and Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune into NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This spring, the world's best figure skaters rock the ice. Rock Stars on Ice 2025 Tour, with world champions Ilya Malinin, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, Amber Glenn, Isabeau Lovito, Jason Brown, the legendary Elvis Stoiko, and more. Rock Stars on Ice, directed by Kurt Browning, coming to Honda Center May 17th. Get tickets at starsonice.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort is waiting to be discovered. Sure, you might have been on It's a Small World. Who doesn't love that? But have you found your inner hero at Avengers Campus? Avengers Assemble! Or have you dropped on in to check out Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Discover your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort. Park tickets and reservations required. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
Make your next trip to Honda Center for an Anaheim Ducks game even more exciting by participating in the 50-50 raffle. Not only could you take home a huge cash prize, but you'll also be helping make a difference right here in the Southern California community. Thanks to the support of fans like you, the 50-50 raffle has raised over $5 million for the Anaheim Ducks Foundation since its inception. Visit anaheimducks.com/50-50-raffle for more information. That's anaheimducks.com/5050-raffle.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Stay tuned for Anaheim Ducks postgame show up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show with Alexis Downey, exclusively on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network of Ducks Hockey.
The Anaheim Ducks got the victory tonight, but it took a shootout against the San Jose Sharks before Mason McTavish would have the winner. The final score here, 4-3. A big Ducks win to close out this homestand. Welcome into the postgame show. I'm Alexis Downey alongside Emerson Edom. Emmer, if we're being honest, this was not the best game from the Anaheim Ducks, particularly that second period. San Jose really controlling it. They also found their way back into the game in the third period. But Anaheim able to find a way to win this one.
Well, thank goodness that the team we root for, just they battled till the very end, but yes, what, unnecessary? Can we use the term? Maybe, as you mentioned, didn't have to make it that hard, but I think it shows such signs of growth, because there are a lot of times last season where they allow a team to come back and that opposition would go on and win the game. Not every time, but some of the times. You don't see that all too often, right? If there's a blip somewhere in the game of the Ducks, they're so much more confident under times of stress, right? And I think that was the case here tonight. So tested more than probably should have been. But I tell you what, this Ducks team, they continue to impress us in different ways.
It kind of reminded me in some ways of that Chicago Blackhawks game where they just didn't have their best game, obviously lost that one, but that game in particular left a sour taste in their mouth. They knew, you know, not the best team by any stretch in the league, but you can't underestimate those teams. One of these games here tonight, you cannot underestimate the Sharks team, despite what happened to this team over the weekend. You have to come out with your best, and they're learning that lesson.
Yeah, and it helps that Lukáš Dostál, although maybe a soft first one, right, against him. After that, he was stellar. I mean, he stopped shot after shot from the Sharks that were high danger, that were just grade A point blank chances. So you got to tip your cap to number one as well.
Let's get into the highlights on how this game went down tonight. The Ducks got on the board just 2 minutes and 4 seconds into the game. It was Trevor Zegras redirecting Sam Colangelo's shot right off the faceoff.
Jack Thompson really pressuring him on the back check, and he not only gets a backhand shot off because the forehand was being taken away, but he follows up by pushing Georgiev in a very subtle manner behind the goal line. Oh, there's a goal.
And a quick shot right from the faceoff. And Anaheim will get that one as Colangelo and Zegras congratulate one another. Trevor will get the goal. Well, that makes up for the goal that wasn't allowed seconds ago. Anaheim jumps on top. San Jose 1-0.
Well, talk about an ideal start. And it's just a simple play, a quick play right off the draw. A great faceoff win by Mason McTavish. And it's that quick shot play. Sam Colangelo releases it. Trevor Zegras sticks his stick out. And he gets a tad piece of it on his blade, beating Georgiev. What a start.
Nice play there from Trevor Zegras to be right there with the stick. I mean, the chemistry, it's so evident between them. But also the fact that it was off a faceoff, good stuff from the Ducks.
It's we heard from Sam Colangelo there after the first was over. But look, they got too many faceoff plays that he could even remember. It's so much. So look, you have a few that you just stick to. That was that quick shot play that's just kind of a staple in every team, or at least your top lines, what they go as far as their arsenal. But look, that was just well executed. Great faceoff win directly back to Sam Colangelo. He wastes no time. That's the key. That puck goes on his stick and off his stick in a hurry, and great spot there by Z.
The Ovechkin play, he called it.
When you
guys are chatting with him, and also just a lot of good stuff in that interview. We'll talk about that shortly as we get to Colangelo's goal on the night. But the Sharks did tie it up 1-1 after that. A puck that just trickled its way through Dostal not too long after that first goal from Anaheim. But the Ducks get a chance on the power play, and it's Jackson Lacombe getting the Ducks their lead again.
Played there by Lacombe. Well, I tell you, you see him all over the ice in that offensive zone. Out high now after being down by the goal line. Has the puck on his stick this time. Goes to Zegras. Back to Lacombe. He'll fire one. He scores! Jackson Lacombe on a Duck power play with 49 seconds left. And the Shark Minor gives Anaheim their original one-goal lead. It's now 2-1.
The last time Anaheim played San Jose, they got some points on the power play. They're able to do that again tonight.
Yeah, look, that was just a simple shot. But as simple as they come, those aren't always the easiest, right? And it's tough not to pass that play off or think of that as a low percentage play because, you know, look, you're on the power play. And look, it's an ideal shot. Even though it's you could easily pass that one off. So heads off play by Jackson Lacombe. He gets it through.
2-1 after Jackson Lacombe's goal, and the Ducks will get one more in that first period. As I mentioned, this one from Sam Colangelo. 3-1 game with just a minute left in that first period.
Here is Vetrano looking for some points. A drive by Gudas, and he wickedly fired a puck off the backboard. Here's the shot, score! They kept persistent play in the zone after that booming shot out high. And it's Colangelo that'll get the goal and give Anaheim a 3-1 lead.
Sam Colangelo, he continues to just get it done. And he gets it done where? In his office. Yeah, right around the blue paint. He just takes his time. He waits. He waits. He waits for the scrum to play out right in front of him. And there goes that puck trickling out. It had a bow on it. And Sam Colangelo smacks it home. Good guys up 3-1.
Sam Colangelo starting off the month of April with a goal after he had 6 in the month of March. I mean, he just knows how to get it done.
He just, yeah. And once again, when you're in those pressure situations, a lot of times around the net, you tend to, just the human nature, squeeze the stick a little bit more, but it seems like he gets even calmer. And I remember even a play back in my playing days. It was playing the Kings. It was, I think, second round of my second year. And we were at home here, and Corey Perry was just hacking away at it, trying to bury home the rebound. And I was on the far side back door. And had I just stayed there and waited patiently, as Sam Colangelo did, look, I would have just tapped it home for a big-time goal. I can't remember if it was a game-tying go-ahead, but it would have been a big goal. But I decided to take one step towards Corey Perry and try to help him out and jam away, but that puck tripled right through my skates as I was on my way towards Corey Perry there. And I just remember, had I just been just that much more patient, stayed there right back door, I would have just tapped it home. So yeah, it is what it is. I might have not have had it, but Sam Colangelo does. So and there you go.
You're still thinking about it.
I'm still thinking about it, but it makes me kind of get back to just being at ease, knowing that these young guys got it from here.
3-1 after Sam Colangelo's goal after the first period as well. We moved into the second period, and it was all San Jose. 14 shots on goal for them, only 4 for the Ducks in that second period. But luckily, no goals. As Emerson mentioned, Lukasz Dostal, a big night for him in net. We moved into the third, and San Jose started their way back to tie it up, and it was Mark Edward Vlasic getting the second goal for the Sharks on this one. Kind of a interesting situation. Let's take a listen.
High slot shot attempt. Uh-oh, Dosto went down. And I think the Ducks are upset at one of the Shark players behind the net. And play continues. I thought they blew the whistle to stop play. And San Jose has just put the puck in the net. Mark Edward Vlasic, I believe, will get credit for the goal if it stands. But I thought they were going to blow the whistle for the fracas behind the goal line. We'll have to go down for the official's call there. But San Jose sneaks the puck by Dostal. And it's 3-2 according to what it is now. But that could change.
One of those situations where you're kind of shaking your head. What happened there with Dostal going down? I mean, he was on the ice for at least a second or two, and there was no call, and then the delayed penalty. Unfortunate situation.
What do you think? And I just attempted to make the call that Greg Cronin was irate because of that non-call on Lukasz Dostal. I have a sense that that's what he was complaining about. But, yeah, I mean, that's as blatant of goaltender, at least contact from an opposing team, as you could possibly get. Don't know how that call wasn't blown down and stopped. And but it just goes to show, right? We experienced this last year in Vancouver, where Vancouver played till the very whistle until Pettersson tapped one of those goals in. Ducks proceeded to stop on that play. They somewhat stopped and were obviously paying attention to sticking up for their goaltender, which is perfectly fine to an extent. San Jose continued to play on, and they had one goal in mind, and that was to put it past the Ducks, and they did.
3-2 after that goal. San Jose would get one more. Alexander Wennberg, the game-tying goal that forced overtime. Not a whole lot in overtime. The Ducks had a bit of that possession, so we moved to the shootout, and it was Mason McTavish who had the game-winning goal.
Mason McTavish, the third Duck shooter. This place will explode if he can get one here. Trying to give Anaheim a lead. Here he comes. Wide turn to the right of Georgiev. Comes in front of the net. Stick handles in. And he'll shoot. He scores! Between the legs of the goaltender. And he gives Anaheim a 1-0 shootout lead. And if Dostal stops the next San Jose shooter, the Ducks will win.
One of the more cheekier moves I've seen in quite some time. A lot of these moves have been slow. McTee follows up with yet another slow move going north, and he puts it 5-hole in tight.
Mason McTavish ended this night with 11 shots on goal, which is by no surprise a career high for him. The most by a Ducks player in a game. Paul Kariya with 12, and he did it 3 times in his career. So McTavish pretty close to that number.
Look, we love Paul Kariya. He did so many great things for this organization. But, look, the game was a little bit looser, a little bit more time and space out there. I think the quality of skaters wasn't what it is today, so on and so forth. Goaltending, list goes on and on. So the fact that in modern day, and when I say modern, this year, as opposed to Kariya's days, look, I mean, that's saying something. 11 nowadays, I don't know what that would have equaled in Korea's time. You know, 15, 20, who knows? But that is impressive stuff.
All right, Emerson, the Ducks win it here tonight in the shootout, and you know what that means.
I love when you slide me over this little note here because I love Mickey D's. The Anaheim Ducks won. It's time to fly together to McDonald's tomorrow. SoCal residents can get a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle for only $2 on the McDonald's app. McDonald's app, download and registration required at participating McDonald's. There, you know I can read.
Go get your McDonald's after this Ducks win here tonight, and we're going to take a break. And when we return, we'll have more coverage on this post-game show talking about this Ducks win.
Get cool style, passenger, and cargo space, plus big savings with the fully electric Honda Prologue on sale now at your helpful Honda dealer. Save thousands with 0% APR financing. Plus, get home charging installation credits. And Prologue is backed by Honda with dealerships in your neighborhood for service. The 2024 Honda Prologue with 0% APR financing. Don't miss it. Search your local Honda dealer today. See dealer for financing details for well-qualified buyers. Offer ends 4/30/25.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Hey everyone, Adnan and Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
The future is now. Be at Honda Center to cheer on your Ducks for every home game next season as a 2025-26 Orange Alliance season ticket member. As a member, you'll receive lower ticket prices, 25% off concessions, including beer and hard seltzers, 15% off Ducks merchandise, hassle-free parking, special member gifts, invitations to exclusive events throughout the year, and much, much more. Check out the full list of benefits by visiting AnaheimDucks.com/Orange Alliance.
We're back with our post-game show. Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey. Make it count. Mason McTavish had a three-point game, his first three-point game this season, and of course had that shootout game-winning goal. So we're going to head down to the locker room now to hear what he had to say.
Started off, you know, really well in a bit of a sloppy one. We find a way through. How would you describe that whole thing?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it was a good start to the game. And then, yeah, we kind of got away from our game in the second period. And then I thought in the third, we kind of started to play a little bit better. And, yeah, it was, good enough effort to win the game. So it's always a good sign.
Was the mathematical elimination scenario was kind of talked about in the room about, you know, keeping the season relevant and trying to come out with a good start?
Not really. I mean, I think we're all really competitive players. I mean, obviously that's in the back of our heads, but we just want to win every game, and, that just kind of sorts itself out.
Their team had a pretty rough going the past couple of games, and do you think that entered into this game, the way they came out? They looked a little slow, and then they really picked it up hard in the second.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, going through those stretches is it's never easy. So, I think they maybe were a little bit more angry and had some more determination maybe. And, they had a good effort. So, like I said, we did enough to win.
What did you think of the shootout?
What did I think of it? I thought Dosti was great. I think on my move, I guess, just kind of went in pretty slow, kind of outweighed them and opened them up and went five holes. So.
When you get into that situation, do you feel confident, or is it you just wait it out?
Yeah, I think I try to do a lot of them. I love doing them. I think they're really fun. So, credit to Dosti. Me and him are, and Z. Wow, a lot of guys, Cutter and Leo, are all out there with him. And we do a lot of it. And he always likes to work on it, too. So it's something we kind of work on, I guess.
What did you see on that 5-on-3 attempt? I mean, you had 5 or 6 one-timers that you just couldn't
run. Yeah, no, that was a tough. I mean, good looks. I thought really good looks. I mean, we pretty much did everything but score. Credit to them. They're blocking shots. Their goalie, made some big saves, and kind of sucks that we didn't get one there.
I got 11 shots in the game. As the game sort of going along, are you feeling it that you're not necessarily getting one yourself, although you're contributing to a couple?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always a good sign when you're getting a lot of looks, and obviously it's hard sometimes not to get a little frustrated. But I think you just gotta stick with it and have a short memory.
We had a pretty similar.
All right, that was Mason McTavish after this Ducks win here tonight. I'm glad he brought up the 5-on-3 because he had a lot of looks on that. The Ducks had a lot of looks on that, but they weren't able to get any. That was a stinger late in the game, I felt like, for this team. But they kept the momentum rolling a little bit.
And it's, once again, even more of a testament to them because they had so many opportunities to kind of extend their lead or really put it away in multiple different times. And it goes back to, I think, AD, that them sticking up for one another. Like, it's, maybe at that point of the game, you're up, Alex Killorn sticking up for Leo Carlson. You wouldn't think that it, at that point, once again, you're on your way to winning, at least you're ahead in the game. Maybe it doesn't matter. No, for these guys, they want to stick up for one another till the very end. It just seems like a locker room that continues to get closer and closer day in and day out. And it's just all good signs that I think when it comes down to the wire there, I think that leads to, everyone being even that much more up on the bench, stick tapping the boards for Dosti if he makes a big-time save in that shootout, or Mason McTavish, right? I think the cheers are louder. The camaraderie on that bench is even higher because of those moments in time. Look at even Nesty sticking up for Lukasz Dostal, even though they put it home there. I think, two guys going after, the player, the guilty party who took out Lukasz Dostal in that play, that shows team coming together and chemistry, camaraderie. Just seems like, as far as setting the standard for wherever the season goes, wild card, so on and so forth, in the next season, I think they're setting a tremendous foundation for moving forward.
Well said. And there was a lot of that in this game here tonight. A lot of moments where they did stand up for each other. A big part of this one. And ultimately, the Ducks able to get the win and celebrate there together. You could tell McTavish was very happy about this win here tonight and the way they were able to get it done, despite, the ups and downs of this one. So let's get to our text line. We have a few text messages here and a question for Emerson. As a player, after seeing that no call on the hit on Dostal, how hard is it to not let your emotions get the best of you and look for revenge somewhere other than on the scoreboard? Do you think a bit of that happened tonight?
Well, it goes back to my previous point. I think the reaction was necessary, even though they put it home. It's like that's kind of going to be pushed aside, right? I think, even when, say, Nesterenko and who was the, was it, what, I can't remember who that second player for the Ducks is that went in behind the net to,
I was watching Dostal laying
him
on the ice.
So regardless, to have two, players from your team stick up, I think that's what everyone appreciates. Nasty and, the player that was involved, when they go back to the players, but I think the goal against comes secondary. I know everyone down on that bench was really appreciated of Nesty, who has been an up-and-down guy this season, for being as young as he is, to step up in there for his goalie. That was some good stuff. And once again, I think that collectively adds to the eventual end result, and that's a Duck win. But going back to managing your emotion, you try your best, right? Everything is happening so quick. Sometimes you make a smart move that leads to a penalty called on them, or you make a dumb move and it gets called against. But it's how you respond, and regardless of how you think they responded, which is sticking up for each other, it did lead up to a goal. I just think further down the line, I think that camaraderie chemistry helps out in the very end.
I think that it will as well. When you look at the strides that the team has made this year, not only on the ice, but in the locker room, I mean, it's significant for this group moving forward. Another message here, Mark from Anaheim Hills. Is it me or does Mac T get thrown from the circle at least 50% of the time? Why does he get tossed so often? Just curious.
That's a great point. It really is. And that's so when our chief statistician, Vic Pence, when he slides a paper over to me early in the game, there's a high chance that it's regards to Mason McTavish, how many times he's gotten kicked out of the faceoff circle. Look, I think it's a great thing. I think it's showing that you're proactive, not reactive. There's no penalty on the play. Yeah, does that have your line susceptible to losing the draw or a bigger chance of losing the draw because him being the top, you know, faceoff guy on that line? Yeah, it does. But he's a great faceoff in a faceoff man and a centerman because of that hunger. That shows hunger. Him really leaning over that twig, getting that leverage, that bottom hand low. You know, that's why he's getting kicked out. It's not from a style perspective. It's not because he's doing anything wrong. He just wants it more than the other guy. And he's okay being kicked out knowing that that's going to help him win a lot of more of those draws than lose them. And if you don't get a penalty on the play, you know, he's going to continue to do so.
The Ducks 51% in faceoffs tonight. So they were kind of going back and forth with San Jose on that end. San Jose winning some big ones in the second period, but the Ducks end up on top on that end.
Yeah, and to your point, I noticed there early on they were doing better. They dropped a little bit around coming out of the second period for sure, big time. So, I mean, they must have had just a lights out third period when it comes to the faceoff circle.
Let's get one more text in here before we send it to break. Daniel from Corona and at the Honda Center. Oh, glad you were able to be here for a win tonight. On mental health and wellness night, I was far too stressed during this game. Glad we came out on top, other than the weird flukes in the first. Dostal was world class tonight. Love that he was able to shut out the Sharks during the shootout as some payback for the cheap shot earlier in the game. One of the things I was looking at when the Sharks decided who was going to take their shootout chances, it was their entire top line, Toffoli, Celebrini, and Smith. And, I mean, if you've been following hockey this season, you know the story that the three of them have been with Toffoli, hanging out with the two kids, having that sleepover. I mean, the Sharks have become a bit of a storyline for the fun young guys this season. I'm glad we got to see Celebrini finally. I was looking forward to seeing him play in this game here tonight. And I felt like, you know, Emerson, before we get back to this text, what did you think about Celebrini?
Oh, the sleepover? Oh, Celebrini. No, the sleepover was a lot. I thought the sleepover was a lot.
From the players' perspective.
Hey, you know what?
It was funny.
They do those kind of things up north, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's a NorCal thing. Look, our Anaheim Ducks guys, we're serious down here in SoCal. There's no sleeping over unless you're Mac T in that line. I can see them
they're together all the time.
Three apiece in a house. So, hey, I guess we have our players. But, look, we don't care what they're doing up north. But, look, the thing that matters most, good guys come out on top. And, yeah, look, they got a similar team, though, from that perspective, right? It's both built very similar. A lot of under 23 players for them. Of course, 23 leading the league, under 23s for us. But then they got that veteran presence, right? They got a Mark Edward Vlasic, a lot like maybe a guy like Radko Gudas on the back end, been in the league for quite some time. But Mark Edward Vlasic, look at those games played heading into tonight, 1,314. I mean, that is saying something right there. That's a lot of games played. And, yeah, that spreads out to the rest of the roster and all those young guys.
In talking about Dostal in the net tonight as well, I mean, that text alluded to it, the game that he ended up having. So he played four of the five games on this homestand, bouncing back from that game against Toronto earlier this week on Sunday. And now with this win here tonight, 22 wins on his season. Good stuff from the goaltender.
Yeah, and once again, I feel like more recently we've seen the softer ones. I mean, he's just been a superhero, so as John Gibson, of course. I mean, they've just been so stellar for the past few years. But it's very, when you see the softer ones go in for both Gibby and Lukáš, it's even more prevalent. Like, you see it kind of highlighted even more just because they've been so stellar. So it's, you know what, it's good to see him bounce back. He did it on the mishap on trying to get the puck going north there in Montreal. There was a little miscommunication between himself and the defenseman, ended up in the back of his net there. You know, we just don't see the blips very often from the two netminders, and that's a testament to them.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll get to hear from Trevor Zegras, so don't go too far.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business, so pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
Hey, Debbie, we got so much classic country music on our record shelves.
I'm listening.
What do you say we make another radio station? We'll celebrate guys like Stoney Edwards and O.C. Smith, you know, guys who didn't get a lot of radio play back in the day.
And how about fearless gals like Tammy, Loretta, and Dolly, who paved the way for the female country singers of today?
Well, let's call it Country a Go-Go.
Yes. So you keep saying you got something for me. Search Country a Go-Go or ask your device to play Country a Go-Go on TuneIn.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
The hottest country tracks from today and yesterday make the journey that much better. That's why TuneIn's Country Road Station should be your soundtrack. Whether you're in the car, at home, or anywhere in between, we're spinning pop and country jams from Zach Bryan, Maren Morris, and Elle King. Plus, some classic gems from pop country's golden age. All on TuneIn, all on your devices. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Tired of shouting Freebird at your radio? TuneIn has you covered with all the best songs from the golden age of classic rock. Head up north for some Rush prog rock goodness. Hit Detroit Rock City with Kiss's greatest hits. Head down south for more classic Skynyrd songs and so much more. Turn things up to 11 with TuneIn's exclusive classic rock hit station.
Hey, y'all, it's Garth Brooks.
Ever wonder what's on Garth's personal playlist? Welcome to the Garth Channel.
My music, my stories, and all my friends.
Haven't I heard from...
And some songs you might not expect.
R-E-S-P-C-T. Then, from the Garth catalog, we got it all.
Thunder Road.
The music. The stories, The Garth Channel. Search The Garth Channel on TuneIn or tell your device to play The Garth Channel.
All right, we're back with our post-game coverage, and now we're going to take a listen to Trevor Zegras as he spoke down in the locker room after his two-point night.
How did you get that tip on my friend?
I saw Sammy. I think he shot it off my stick on purpose because there was no way I could have done that, I guess, on my own.
10th goal of the season for you. The last three have been chop, a little poke in the crease, and then tonight the redirect. That's not really something we kind of see from you on the usual.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best saying is there's no pictures on the scorecard. However they go on, I'll take it. And when you're playing with guys like Mason, Sammy, a really good spot is to go to the net. I just feel pretty lucky that that one hit my stick for sure.
It sounded like they were asking you about that shootout a little bit. I don't think I've ever seen such a slow start.
Right, yeah. Like I said, I was a little tired. I like to, I guess, feel the puck a little bit, see how the ice is before I get in there. And thought I made a good move, just
you know, this, you guys are right on the edge of like playoff elimination mathematics and stuff like that. Does, is that stuff talked about in the room ahead of a game like this to come out strong like that?
I don't think so. I mean, you can't really control what all other teams are doing and whatnot, and kind of just focus on what we're doing as the Anaheim Ducks. And like I mentioned before, I think the goal for the rest of the season is to finish with a winning record, and I think that's all something that we're getting behind for sure.
So is that just basically what the hunger is at the start of the game? You just know you need a good start and you want to get the good results?
Right, exactly. I think kind of where we were at this point the last couple seasons is not where we want to be as a team and an organization, and I think a winning record this season will go a long way into next year and the years going forward.
Were you surprised at all by how hard San Jose came back in the second period? They didn't score any goals, but they skated pretty hard.
I mean, they're a good team. Like, the young guys in that team have a lot of potential. Definitely something that was talked about before the game. I mean, I think analytically, I think the last couple games that they played, they were right in the mix. Just scores weren't there. So, definitely a good team.
All right, that was Trevor Zegras. One of the interesting things that he shared there was his slow approach on the shootout. He likes to feel the puck, feel the ice before he makes his decision on what his move is going to be. And also he noted he was a little tired, which I can imagine that late in the game.
Yeah, he did that. Well, that was even slower, the move that we saw here tonight. But he had a slow one against L.A. there, in L.A., where he scored in that shootout. So, look, he's going with what he feels is best at the current point. It seems like that was as slow as probably he's ever gone. But, look, he had that nice little tip there earlier in the game. And I just think it looks like he's having fun. It looks like his whole line, of course, they're all having fun. And you could just tell that they got a pep in their step. The camaraderie off the ice, how much they hang out with one another. They love being around one another, right? And facilitating plays off the ice is translating to some success on the ice. So if they stick together, I mean, how great is that, right? Seems as if, and although maybe Killer, he's had, you know, better games previously, you know, when all three lines can consistently find it, it's going to be good stuff.
It's, you know, I'm glad you brought up Alex Killorn, because outside of that third line tonight, top line, second line, not a whole lot from them. I mean, it seemed like Ryan Strome, Troy Terry, they got a lot of minutes on the ice in this game. Frank Vetrano too. But again, we talk about how that top line, Vetrano, Strome, and Terry, not able to get any points on this homestand. Unbelievable.
And that Troy Terry hitting the post there. And
yeah, that was
overtime,
close. That was
you almost
close.
Felt it a little bit more because everything we talked about in the pregame show. And, I mean, you said it, and then I had to take a double take. It really was four games heading into tonight that line hadn't received a point. So it's one of those things where they probably continue to overthink it somewhat, but they'll get back on track. They just need one game where they're like, you know what, just whatever happens, and they're going to explode and have a good outing.
And maybe it's one of those things where going on the road this week will help the team, or that line in particular, get some juice, and we'll see how they do on this short two-game road trip coming up. Emerson, what is your final quack for tonight?
You know what? If you take it for what it is, Canada is just an awesome place. Like, if you experience Calgary, like, it truly is an unbelievable place. You get all westerned up. I love my days in Medicine Hat and Western Canada. And, of course, Vancouver. There's not much, you know, more beautiful places than Vancouver. So my final quack is an AD. I know, look, you're going to be in a different position here on this trip. Congrats to you. But I look forward to making the most of these two games in Canada.
I like it. This is a big trip for the Ducks. I mean, to close out. Well, you're going to see Calgary twice within a week, but when you look at Vancouver and you're closing out, you know, this Pacific division basically towards the end of our games now, only eight games left on the season, two big games for the Ducks, and both of those teams on the outside of the playoffs, very likely looking like it's going to be on the outside of the playoffs because the St. Louis Blues have won 10 in a row now, have even jumped the Minnesota Wild in the wild card spot, but I think this road trip is going to be good for that line, like we're talking about. And I do want to see a more consistent effort in that game against Calgary, because you could tell there was a bit of fatigue tonight, and I'm not sure exactly where that comes from. But, you know, I know they had the day off yesterday, so hopefully they're able to be re-energized on Thursday.
Yeah, and to your point, the last two meetings with the Calgary Flames haven't been pretty, right?
Yeah.
The home game there, then the last away game, they were fast, and you didn't expect it. You just continue to almost, you can't doubt them, but you're just like, you know, where do they get this offense? Their goaltending with Wolf has been unbelievable. So, look, they're just finding ways to win hockey games, and that's kind of what makes them even more dangerous.
You can join the pregame show on Thursday. It's an unusual start time. So it's a 6:30 Pacific time start. So the pregame show will be at 6 o'clock. And that means it's a 7:30 local time in Calgary. But 6:30 on Thursday, 6 o'clock start. But if you want to stick around and listen to the exciting win here tonight, Ducks and Sharks in the shootout, you can after the commercial break. Otherwise, for Emerson Needham, I'm Alexis Downey. Thank you for joining us on your Tuesday evening to hear the SoCal team take on the NorCal team, and the Ducks, the better team, get the victory here tonight at Honda Center. Make sure to have a great night and join us again on Thursday at 6 o'clock for that next Ducks game against Calgary.